More than a dozen people were arrested and six others injured in the American city of Portland after far-right protesters clashed with anti-fascist demonstrators at the weekend. Police also seized several weapons, including knives, metal poles, chemical spray, and a stun gun. Now, interestingly, ahead of the protests, the president called out the anti-fascist group, known as Antifa, backing calls for labelling it a terror organisation. Jason Wilson is an Australian journalist and writer living in Portland, and he was at the protests on the weekend. Welcome to Breakfast.
Happy to be here.
For a long time, Jason, Portland was considered to be a bastion of American liberalism. How has it become the centre of this fight between left and right in America?
I think precisely that reputation and the reality, really, that Portland is a kind of liberal city, a very solidly democratic voting city with also kind of more radical left currents. That's really what has made it a target. And you know, a lot of the right-wing activists who come here and carry out demonstrations have explicitly said as much. In particular, there's a very long-standing anti-fascist group here called Rose City Antifa. You know, they in many ways have been a model for other anti-fascist groups around the country. So I think they're seen as a target as well. But the other thing that's happened is perhaps that the city and city authorities have struggled to respond to this very long series of right-wing demonstrations that have come into the city and have frequently become violent.
So how long have they been running for in Portland, groups of people coming in and running these demonstrations?
Look, there is actually a longer history of, you know, the far right targeting Portland that goes back to the 80s and 90s. But really, this bout of far right protests has been kind of, you know, has basically been throughout the Trump era. So a lot of these protests are, in fact, billed as pro-Trump events or pro-free speech events. And ever since the president was elected, you know, there have been literally kind of dozens of these things now. And you know, some of them have descended into quite serious violence. There was one on June 30 last year, which was particularly bad. Yeah, so I think you could probably best summarise it as they've happened throughout the Trump era.
And I know you were at the demonstrations over this weekend. What were they like? What's the atmosphere?
Well, you know, the atmosphere varies depending on which side of the protest you're on. You know, I think that there was a lot of machismo and a lot of, you know, I think aggression being expressed on the right-wing side. And they didn't actually end up staying in town for very long. On the left side, you know, there were kind of, you know, masked people in black block attire that people often associate with anti-fascist groups. There was a bunch of them, but there was also a much more diverse, you know, group of community groups and political organizations who had, you know, speeches and Buddhist prayers and, you know, music. People were dressed up as poop emojis. I mean, you know, the tone kind of varied, but these events are definitely contentious and, you know, contentious on both sides. So, you know, people were, once the far-right groups arrived, people were kind of yelling back and forth. But on this occasion, police managed to keep the two groups separated until the right-wing group left the city.
And is it always people coming from outside that are within these far-right groups? Because an interesting wrinkle of detail I read around all of this is that just outside of Portland, there are some sort of mountainous areas where there are people, there is a bit more of a history of this kind of thinking and these kind of political movements. So is it actually people traveling from all over America, or is it actually a bit closer to home?
On this occasion, yeah, this was very much, this very much attracted people from all over the country. People flew in from, you know, Texas, from California, from all over the United States, because it had been heavily publicized in conservative media and in various right-wing outlets. And it was a very specific response to an incident that happened at the last rally where a conservative writer was milkshaked and punched by some anti-fascists. But But yeah, I mean, a lot of the rallies that have happened have been much smaller, and they've been led by a guy called Joey Gibson, who comes from the neighboring city of Vancouver, Washington. I think what you're pointing to is true, though. Portland is liberal, like most of large West Coast cities are quite liberal. But, you know, in the rural areas of Pacific, the states in the Pacific Northwest, it really is quite conservative, quite staunchly conservative. And, you know, the Pacific Northwest state of Idaho probably has an argument for being the reddest state in the country, you know, the most conservative state in the country. So, yeah, they are largely people coming in from outside Portland. Some of them are just coming over the Columbia River. Some are coming from as far away as, you know, Texas.
And what do groups like Proud Boys want? Do they want these cities to stop being progressive? What's the objective here?
It's difficult to tell at times. I mean, we know what they said yesterday. The leader of the Proud Boys is a guy called Enrique Tarrio. He basically said in a press release, and in fact in his speech to his supporters at the event, that their goal now is to keep having these demonstrations once a month because they know it costs the city a lot of money and a lot of resources. And he explicitly said, we want to drain their resources. We want to cost the city money until the city cracks down on Antifa. Now, the bigger context, I think, is that national Republicans have now become involved with this situation. Senator Ted Cruz, who was a Republican candidate for president in 2016, you'll probably remember, he's trying to pass a resolution in the Senate to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. The president weighed in on this. He tweeted beforehand and very clearly took a side. I think the bigger context is that national Republicans are interested in tying radical anti-fascist groups to the Democrats and kind of conflating those two things.
And is Antifa a serious threat? I mean, I had the displeasure of an encounter with some Antifa folk filming a Foreign Correspondent episode in Denmark recently. They were pretty aggressive, chased us out of an area. I don't know that we could necessarily say they were violent, but they were certainly scary. How serious should we be considering them as a threat?
Well, I think that journalists in particular can have unpleasant encounters sometimes, you know, because these folks don't like being photographed. Their rationale is that, you know, if their identities are revealed, that puts them in danger with you know, the people who they're opposing, the far right. I think that they also clearly, you know, yesterday the city was disrupted, and it wasn't just disrupted by the right, it was disrupted by other demonstrators. But I think in context, what we're seeing in the United States certainly is we're seeing mass shootings and all kinds of violence inspired directly by right-wing ideology and white supremacist ideology. And we've even had people sending out letter bombs and what have you, who are doing so out of a belief that they're somehow supporting the president. So I think that in context, you know, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, you know, they do a tally of extremist violence, and they said in 2018, all but one of the extremist murders that happened in the United States were directly connected to, you know, far-right ideology. So okay. I think in context, that's the context, basically.
Jason Wilson, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Jason Wilson is an Australian journalist living in Portland.